Thank you, Jim, and welcome everybody. You guys deserve a prize for being in a 12:30 session on the last day of APHA. Congratulations on your stamina. We all want your health secrets so that we can emulate your behavior. So what I'm going to do, we do have a really rich and experienced panel today, and I want you to have an opportunity to hear from everybody. So what I'm going to do is introduce each speaker, pull up their slides, they'll make their presentation. If we have any quick or burning questions, we'll take those. Otherwise, we'll hold discussion until the end. So let me now introduce our first speaker. Mr. Paul Whiteman, who's currently the Executive Director of the Utah Public Health Association. He's been there for 5 years after having worked for the Utah Department of Health for 37 years in various programs, technology, and management positions. He's been in public health his entire career and is very dedicated to it and passionate about it, especially working with people in all disciplines. He's been married for 43 years, another accomplishment. He's raised one daughter, 5 sons, and has 11 grandchildren. Oh, so, Paul.
That's
why
we want to
go home. Yeah, thank you so much.
Go home. Thank you. I really do hope I'm going to capture what you want, but also give you a status report of where we are on our improvement efforts and accreditation. I don't have any financial relationships to describe it. Let me just say that to present Utah's current accreditation status, I thought I'd be a little more creative than just listing agencies. And so what I've tried to do is be somewhat true to the theme of our meeting and this session about rural health, also FAB accreditation and quality improvements, and some healthography, at least as I think I understand what healthography is. So to start with, let's look at Utah's urban and rural health environments. But first I wanted to say that I personally believe and know from my experience working in public health in our state, entirely during my career, that I believe that all public health agencies do their best. I think they try to understand the priority needs of their citizens and their residents and want to do the best. I also think that it's clear that most of us that are working with FAB accreditation understand that it provides a framework for quality improvement, and like anything else that's there, and can be used by agencies even if they don't pursue accreditation to improve their services. We are experiencing in our state several barriers from leaders, boards of health, staff, financial people, and others that are kind of impeding some of the movement of the second tier of agencies that want to become accredited, and I'll go through those. But I'm also concerned about what's going on then, and there's developing in my mind a potential service quality gap between urban and rural in our state, and I'll show you why. First of all, let's start with the geography of Utah. Very briefly, the northwest, up in the top corner up here, there's a desert, and that is the Great Salt Lake Desert, where the world speed records are sometimes held. Made on the east side, in the north, there is our deposits of natural gas, oil, and shale, and dinosaurs. Actually, dinosaur deposits. So anyway, up in this corner. Down here is our red rock. I wish it was more, could be seen as more red, like on this screen. But it's our red rock area where 5 national parks are located and some of our 12 national monuments. We have a lot of federal fund land in our state. In fact, there's a lot of controversy over that because we're a very conservative state as well. But going through the middle of Utah, right through here, is a spine of mountains or hills or whatever. We call them mountains. Jim probably doesn't in Colorado. But this is also the real population route. And we won't go into all of how that was all colonized and settled, but it had some religious tones to it, as you probably understand. So there were groups of people that went this way this way, this way, this way, this way, all over, settling in the early 1800s, or about 1850. So this slide, the next one, shows the 29 counties in Utah. Many of them, as you can tell, would be rural, and some of them are urban. And we'll go into that in a little bit more detail. There's a county commission who has responsibility in each one of these 29 counties. We don't have, some of that responsibility includes public health services. Now we'll get into this about how things run, but let me show you the slide about our population. This may give you a sense of our rural and urban issues. The only urban are these dark brown areas. Everything else is rural, including these red and pink areas. So this is our challenge. And I'm not sure a lot of states have this issue, but and the white is the little pink ones. I think I can name every one of these little towns. But this is St. George, and this is Logan, where Utah State is located. Jim worked at Hill Air Force Base somewhere right in here. So anyway, this is a powerful image I wanted to show you, because it kind of sets up what everything else is like. The white does not mean there's no people there. It's just that there can be zero to up to 200 or 2,500 population. So there are actually people living here. There are roads and things. So yeah. So but here are this is our eight tribes and tribal lands. We have eight recognized tribes in Utah, and these are the lands that they've been given. And as you can probably remember, if you can remember the geology or geography, not exactly the greenest areas of the state, but still. So these are the eight tribes and tribal lands that we're working with in accreditation and quality improvement. And we're just beginning this process to work with them. And they're not all of them are on board, but they're all interested in what we're doing. And here is another slide. Don't know why this is all shrunk down, but we have 12 local health departments, and this is their boundaries. And I thought I'd show you this to just let you know. In the early 1970s, 23 of our 29 counties were combined with an adjoining or conjoining county, at least one county, to form these six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I missed one. Well, there's six. Bear River. So there's six district health departments and six county health departments. And now if you put the population and the Indian tribes together with that map, you get a sense of where we are. That there are certain counties that are not interested, certain local health officers and boards of health who are resisting this kind of effort. And yet there are tribes within their districts, which is going to be an interesting experience for us, I have a feeling. So let me go into then, again, I wanted to show you this one last time just to give you a sense of, before we go into accreditation, so you can remember where our population is. So here is our accreditation, basically some information. I've listed the six at the top here, the six, eight local health departments that are working on accreditation, and I've ranked them, not ranked them, but classified them in accredited. They've applied for accreditation, they're active in applying for accreditation, preparing, or they're interested in doing a little bit of the groundwork for accreditation with a FAB. So these six health departments account for 79% of our population in the state. And so this is the definition of disparity. You can say we're successful, or you can say we're not being successful. We're not taking care of those. And again, let me just these six are the six local health departments, and the state health department is preparing, and they also have the Gaining Ground grant. They've been doing quality assurance and quality improvement for years, and even have a staff, and they're the logical one to be applying for and receiving the grant for gaining ground. And then here are the eight the eight Indian tribes and their lands and their populations, their relative populations. None of these have formally told a lot of us that they're working on accreditation. They're certainly working on quality improvement. And we'll go through some of the objections that they have as well, but when we get into this. But I wanted to show you next then, here are the counties that have applied for or working on accreditation. There's one error. This Davis County has also applied. This slide was made before they applied a few months ago, so weeks ago, whatever. So this gives you a sense then, again, of the population and where accreditation is active versus where it's not. If you throw in the Indian tribes, this is what this looks like. Now, to me, this is an obvious gap in quality improvement and where we need to put our efforts, especially in the Indian tribes. So here are some of the real or perceived barriers that I'll go through that I decided I didn't want to list them. I didn't want to write them down. So I'm going to tell you the things that have been told to me rather than write them down so you can, because they're semi-controversial. First of all, I'll say this, that many local health officers, boards of health, do not believe that a national organization should dictate local standards. And I'm not sure if you know our political environment in Utah, but we have no Democrats representing us anymore in Congress. We're all Republicans. Three House of Representatives and two Senators. Pardon? Thank you. Local health officers claim this effort is not needed, that they already understand their communities. We've had complaints that FAB accreditation fees are cost prohibitive, that they require such a large increase in the budgets of a local health department that they do not feel the boards of health would ever approve them spending the money for accreditation fees. Also, staff could not be spared to be taken away from their professional service positions to work on administrative duties such as accreditation. And, you know, I kind of understand that. If you get to one of the large local health departments, they can't even have a meeting in person because they're so far away. We're talking hundreds of miles to travel. Board members with experience, this is another objection or barrier. Board members, board of health members with experience with their professional accreditation efforts object to this for their health departments. So they've been hospital administrators having to go through accreditation. They said, you don't need this. Trust me, you do not need this. So that is my presentation. I hope I've, I have a slide here about conclusions that I won't read. You can read them yourselves. But at the bottom, I'm mostly concerned about this gap, that we're designing systems to improve services in areas where maybe we need to look elsewhere and do something to get the attention, to get people on board, the decision makers on board. Okay?